in 4.
The hand of the diligent will rule, while the slothful will be put to forced labor. Proverbs 12:24 was a clear caution for the ancient Israelites, and it's just as true for us today. Like much of Proverbs, that verse is a lesson for handling our financial affairs. Managing money wisely requires good habits. Today, host Rob West explores how to do that with financial expert Howard Dayton. And it's your calls on anything at 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore. Diligence pays off today on MoneyWise Live. Rob, Howard Dayton started Compass, Finances God's Way, and also this very radio program, MoneyWise. And today we're in for a special treat because he's going to reveal a little bit of what makes him tick, diligence.
And we've been looking forward to this, Steve, because he does, in fact, have some lessons for us all. Howard, great to have you back on MoneyWise.
Oh, it's just wonderful to be with you, Rob.
Well, thank you. Feeling is mutual, and you're one of the most disciplined people we know, Howard. I mean that seriously, and not just in the area of finances. Steve and I talk often about your daily exercise routine that would leave guys decades younger than you in the dust, present company included. So why don't you start by telling us what you do every morning? I think this will be an encouragement to our listeners.
Or a discouragement to many.
Perhaps, yes.
Yeah. Well, I go for a 4-mile walk with my dear wife 6 days a week. And then every other day, I do 5 sets of 100 push-ups for a total of 500 push-ups during the walk.
Incredible.
But let me give you some history now.
Okay.
On those push-ups. I read an article on Strom Thurmond, who was a senator from South Carolina. Yeah. And Strom was an exercise guy. So on his 91st birthday, he did 91 push-ups. And I thought to myself, you know, if Strom can do it, so can I.
Yep.
when I started, I did 5 sets, and I was only able to do 3 push-ups on each set for a total of 15. Mm-hmm. Then I would add a push-up whenever it was easy for me to do one more. Yeah. It took 3.5 years to slowly work up to 5 sets of my age, which at the time was 65. Then after a month of doing 5 sets of 65, I decided to work up to 5 sets of 100.
Okay.
It took me about 1.5 years more. one of my favorite verses is Proverbs 21:5, which tells us steady plodding brings prosperity. Yes. Hasty speculation brings poverty. And that steady plodding principle, Rob, I've applied that principle to just about every area of my life.
Yeah, well, it's such an encouragement. A 4-mile walk daily, 6 days a week, and then every other day, 500 push-ups. Howard, what's going through your mind while you're exercising?
Well, I'm just counting those push-ups. I can't wait till I get them done.
I'm sure.
But, you know, but the push-ups really are a terrific exercise because they strengthen your arms, shoulders, chest, back, and even your tummy, and that helps, you know, your entire body, really.
Yeah. Well, we're going to apply this not only to our walk with Christ, but also to our finances in just a moment. But before our first break, Howard, tell me, does that discipline extend into your diet as well?
It does. And I will say this, Rob, it's a lot easier when you're married to a spouse who enjoys eating healthy food instead of junk food.
Yes.
It really helps if your mate's on the same page with your diet.
Yeah, absolutely. Howard, it's been my experience that when we practice discipline in an area like this, whether it's how we exercise, whether it's how we eat, or even in our finances, it tends to have a ripple effect into other areas of our life, including our walk with the Lord. Has that been your experience?
Absolutely. No, there's no question that the whole area of discipline has had a significant impact on every area of my life. Mm-hmm. And it really started to change because I was not in the habit of being disciplined at all when I was introduced to Christ. way back in 1971.
Well, I want to hear that story as well as how you develop these habits. We'll also apply it to our finances when we come back in just a moment.
With us today, author, teacher, former Mr. Olympia, Howard Dayton. We'll be back with more on today's edition of MoneyWise Live after this.
Money and life run on the same track. But unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment. Available when you click the store button at MoneyWiseLive.org.
When it comes to investing guidance, you want advice grounded in God's Word. That's the approach offered by Sound Mind Investing. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire investing wisdom and confidence. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a wise and faithful steward in the area of investing. A short video webinar on profit and peace of mind is available now at soundmindinvesting.org.
And now, a discipleship moment. Here's Paul Downer.
Ed is a godly guy whom I hugely respect. And last Wednesday, we were catching up, and he shared that he had recently gone through a breakdown. I had to cut way back, he said, and rely a lot on the help and encouragement of others. It's taught me so much about my need for Christ and for other people. My jaw almost dropped. Ed have a breakdown? I couldn't believe it, or that he would share it. But his gut-level honesty meant so much to me. It said he was real, and I could be real too. Friend, are we willing, like Ed, to take off that religious mask we wear so often and reveal our struggles? As 2 Corinthians 11:30 says, let's learn to live authentically, without masks, by boasting not in our strength, but in our weakness.
To learn more about Discipleship Network of America resources, go to Downer.org.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Nice to have you with us today. Also nice to have our good friend Howard Dayton with us. Howard's the founder of Compass Finances God's Way. He's the former host of this radio program, and he's a man who treats his body like his money and like God's Word, which is a real focus on a daily basis. True diligence, and that's from someone who's been around Howard for, 20-plus years. And Howard, I know you're a disciplined person, but it's something that you have to make a bit of an effort to do. It doesn't come naturally for most of us, and it doesn't necessarily come naturally for you, does it?
Oh, no, Steve, far from it. Really, that all started to change because I was not a disciplined person way back in 1971 when I was first introduced to Christ as my Savior. Before then, as I mentioned, I was a lot less disciplined, and the more I've grown as a follower of Christ, the more disciplined I've become. I once explained to a friend, I was trying to give him a word picture of what had happened to me, and I told him that if I closed my eyes and described what my life was before knowing Christ, it was like a kid's game of pickup sticks. You know, you throw all these sticks down on the ground, and they're all jumbled up and on top of one another. It's just a mess. But once I came to know Christ and began to grow in my relationship with him, it's as if the Lord has taken one stick at a time out of that jumbled mess and removed it and put it in nice order. So I'm so thankful to the Lord for doing that.
Absolutely. And I know it has paid incredible dividends in your life and will do the same for anyone else who takes this seriously in terms of cultivating disciplines. Howard, a lot of folks struggle with developing good habits, both for exercise and managing money. So what advice would you have for them based on your experience in this area?
Yeah, Rob, I think there are two things that are just crucial when it comes to developing good financial and exercising habits. And the first is pretty obvious, to develop a written plan, slowly begin to work that plan. And here's the key, every single day, whether it's your future financial life, you're going to be should be on top of a budget. If it's your exercise life, you ought to have it written down and try to, check it off at the end of the day. And then I think the single most important thing to do is to pray. Ask the Lord to help you apply Galatians 5:22 and 23. And this passage describes the fruit of the Holy Spirit. In other words, it describes the characteristics that we experience when we're submitted to God's Holy Spirit and allowing Him to live His life through us. Here's what it says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and get the last one, self-control. Yeah. So when we submit to God's Holy Spirit, inviting Him to live His life through us, then develop a plan that we can follow. For most of us, we will experience an increased level of self-control, which for me was really the name of the game.
Yes.
How do I develop that habit? And it gets down to self-control.
No question about it. Howard, I know accountability has been something important in your life, both you being a mentor to others as well as having your own accountability partners. How important is accountability when you're trying to develop virtuous habits?
It's huge. I was blessed to be able to do it with my first wife, Bev, and now that I'm remarried to Lynn, she goes on the walks with me. She does her own exercises. She does 5 sets of 50 sit-ups. So it's enormously helpful when you have someone with you, whether it's your spouse or I have a dear friend named Tim Mater, and he helps hold me accountable on these things. It's really helpful to have a buddy,
yes,
somebody that's going to encourage you. And when you don't feel like going out and walking, or you don't feel like taking out the budget to see how you're doing, it really helps when you have that person who can encourage you.
Yeah. Howard, if somebody were to ask you what it looks like to live a disciplined life in this area of finances specifically, at a high level, 30,000-foot view, describe what that means to you.
Well, it means to have a plan on where you want to spend your money, where you want to save it, where you want to invest it, where you want to use a portion of it to get out of debt, and then to put it down on paper or use electronic means, whatever works for you, to be able to execute the plan, and then to review it. And if you're married, I think it's really crucial, Rob, for the husband and wife to get together regularly. I like to call it the weekly money date. Not a very romantic thing, but it allows the husband and wife to take a look and see, this is the money that came in. This is the money that went out. How we do it. I tell married couples, please don't use this as an opportunity to nag or fight with each other. This is an opportunity for the husband and wife to be on the same page. Because when they are, they make better financial decisions.
Howard, anyone who knows you knows that you live a well-ordered, well-disciplined life in addition to the exercise we've talked about before. I know that each day you do a lot of scripture memory or try to. But I'm wondering about the habit of generosity, because now we're talking about something overtly financial here. And how has the habit of generosity had a similar impact and effect on your life in the same way that exercise has?
Well, I think, again, Steve, it gets back to having a plan that's based on the scriptural priorities of our lives. Mm-hmm. And certainly generosity is, up near the top when it comes to the financial side of our life. And to be able to do that regularly, I think is really significant. It's a reminder to us that we're not the owners, that the Lord himself is the owners, and he has entrusted us as stewards or managers of our resources to handle the resources that he entrusts to us his way. And that includes generosity.
Yeah.
So it's just a significant area for people in their walk with Christ.
Howard, we have just about 30 seconds left. For someone out there today who's really struggled in this area, take just a moment and talk to them directly and encourage them about how they can pursue discipline in this area of finance.
Well, I would memorize Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and focus on that last fruit of the Spirit, which is self-control. I would ask the Lord to help me become a self-controlled person. And also, I would be looking for that buddy who can, you've got a good relationship with the person, you can invite them into your financial life, into your exercising life, and invite them to hold you accountable. In all likelihood, they'll reciprocate, asking you to do the same.
Yeah. Well, Howard, you've certainly motivated us to get more disciplined about establishing good habits. Thank you, my friend, for joining us today.
Love being with you. God bless you.
Thanks so much, Howard. Howard Dayton, the founder of Compass Finances God's Way. You'll find them online at compass1.org. We'll be right back with more MoneyWise Live after this.
Buying a home is the largest, most nerve-wracking purchase most of us ever make. It doesn't help that you're entering a maze of unfamiliar words and confusing options that can leave you intimidated, frustrated, and afraid you've been taken advantage of. Navigating the Mortgage Maze by Dale Vermillion helps you clear up the confusion, unrack your nerves, and make the best mortgage decisions possible with confidence. Navigating the Mortgage Maze, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
I thought this as we're looking together at Romans 8:28, for we know that in all things God works for the good, for the benefit, for the profit, for the use. And we want our lives to be of some use. You know, I was raised by strong Arkansas Democrats. And I mean, they just believed in no man lives unto himself. That was exactly my grandmother. I mean, in fact, she didn't even know why you would even seek out anything for yourself at all. That wasn't even the question. You lived unto others. You just did. These were Depression grandparents and parents, and that's the way they thought. To be of use, to be of use. And here's the question that I just, while I was putting my mascara on, I can often get a word. I'm sorry, it's not that women, I want you to know, it's not that women study more than men. If you think that women seem to be involved, it's that mascara time is a time of deep reflection. Deep meditation. A word comes to me. A word comes to me. And this is what came to me. How often does God use our pain to birth our passion? How often does God use our pain to birth our passion? I'd just love to know what your passion is. If you got a godly passion about something, God's made you passionate about something, I'd love to know where that thing rooted.
Beth is dedicated to encouraging people to come to know and love Jesus Christ through the study of Scripture. Why wait? Click online today, pick a podcast or television teaching or both. Just visit BethMoore.org. That's BethMoore.org, or download the Living Proof app. Search for Beth Moore in your app store. Thanks for listening to A Quick Word with Beth Moore.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
So happy to have you with us today on MoneyWise Live, finding God's plan for your financial life. And if we can help you with that, we'd love to try. 800-525-7000. We have a number of open lines, so if ever there was a time to try to get through, this would be it. 800-525-7000. We've been talking for the last few minutes with our good friend, the founder of Compass, author and teacher, Howard Dayton. And, you know, I've been thinking about Howard's 400, 500 push-ups as you know, we were sitting through that and he was explaining what he does and how he does. I've been thinking about that.
giving it a lot of thought.
Right. That's my problem. I just think about it.
Right. At some point, you have to take those thoughts and do something with them, right?
Oh, who asked you? Okay, let's go. Let's go up to Central New York. Hello, Jeff. Thanks for your patience, my friend. What's on your mind?
Well, hey, thank you so much for taking my call today. I happen to be celebrating my 20th anniversary today, so this is an apropos time for me to ask a money question.
Wow, great. Congratulations.
Yeah. So my situation is that I have four children, ages 8 to 14. My wife and I have always earned enough money that we've never had to budget. And I've sort of been dragging my feet on the subject. Well, about a year ago, we were given a large sum of money, enough to pay off all of our debts if we wanted to. That money is sitting in a brokerage account right now, earning interest. And then on top of it, there's the potential for a large inheritance for me down the road. Now, the nest egg money has sort of become a source of disagreement in deciding how and if we should use the money now or how we should use it for the future.
Yeah.
So I need help understanding, in a situation where you always have enough money, kind of the reason for budgeting when you have enough. But also, we need help kind of figuring out some long-term plans, and we're just at the base level with that.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, Jeff. And what you're experiencing is not uncommon, meaning so many couples really face the same thing. We had our good friend Shanti Feldhahn on the program not too long ago. Shanti and her husband, Jeff, commissioned a 3-year study alongside Thrivent to really look at this issue and why there's such a breakdown in communication in this area of finances related to couples. And what they found is 70%+ of married couples struggle to communicate about money, and there were some clear reasons why. One of those that kind of bubbled up to the surface, though, was they didn't really connect their values to how they were using the money. And, you know, I think that's really an important exercise, is really to step back and not only recognize, okay, this is all God's, not ours. We're his steward or money manager. But what are the values that drive us? What's most important to us? What do we feel like God is doing in our life now and in the future? And how can money as a tool be appropriately used to reflect those values, what's deeply held for us in terms of where we're going? And as you begin to process all of those issues related to what lifestyle has God called us to live now? How much should we be living on? Is it where we're at now? Do we need to dial it back? Or what does that look like? Where is he taking us? And therefore, what goals should we set to accomplish what's most important to us? Do we want to live simply? And what do we want to be able to do in the future? What about our giving goals now and in the future? What about savings goals? How much is enough? What is our financial finish line? I mean, all of these issues at their core have biblical principles, but at the end of the day, you've got to be on your knees together saying, Lord, what would you have us to do as stewards of your money? And as you begin to unpack your values, connecting those values to goals, I think it does then become clearer, because the budget, the spending, spending plan, which, by the way, Jeff, I would say you need at any income and asset level, because if you don't control the flow of money in and out, regardless of how much you have, it's never going to be allocated the way you wish it would. There's going to be some leaks in that bucket, if you will. But the budget becomes not only how you execute against those values and goals, but also it becomes an instrument of peace between husband and wife, because now, the budget is really just a picture of where God is taking us. And if we're sacrificing in the short run because there's important things we're accomplishing in the longer term, we know why. It's not just because we want to, we don't want to enjoy life or enjoy what God has given us. We certainly want to build that in, but we also want to sacrifice because we know we have limited resources and there are other things that He wants us to accomplish. So I would encourage you to do a couple things. Number one, hold on the line when we're done here today. I want to send you a copy of that book, Thriving in Love and Money by Shanti and Jeff Feldhahn. I want you guys to read that together. Number two, I would put a budget in place, and our MoneyWise coaches would be delighted to walk alongside you guys to help you get that set up. So you have that spending plan with a control system, whether it's app-based or envelope-based or Excel-based, doesn't matter, whatever works for you, but they'll help you get that in place. And then I think longer term, it would be helpful for you all to have an investment advisor, a financial professional who's a third party, who can hear from both of you, who can ask both of you the hard questions, make sure you're being heard and she's being heard, and that somebody is helping to orchestrate a plan that reflects, again, both of you as husband and wife, the oneness that God desires in the marriage relationship. So I think that's where I would recommend you go from here. But tell me, does that all make sense to you?
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for communicating about the values portion of it and how we should be using it as a tool. That's definitely something we have not been doing. And yes. So I just feel like I've been dragging my feet for a long time and, wanting to take big steps now and not really knowing where to start. So I appreciate what you've shared with me.
Absolutely, Jeff. And let me just mention one other thing. If you go to our website, moneywiselive.org, and you sign up for our e-magazine, if you haven't done that already, one of the tools that we're going to be sending out in the next 30 days is a couples planning or goal setting worksheet with a whole list of questions that you guys can use to get this conversation started. So you can sign up right now, moneywiselive.org. It's absolutely free.
And Jeff, God bless you and your wife, and happy 20th anniversary. We hope you have a great remainder of today and 20 more at least. You're listening to MoneyWise with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. Now, here's our phone number if you'd like to chat about anything financial, whether it's your anniversary or not. 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000, and much more coming up right after this.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
Hi, I'm Chris Fabry. The Moody Radio verse of the week is found in 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. That's 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4, the Moody Radio verse of the week.
I grew up in a Christian home.
But that didn't stop Ronald Clay from trying to rob a Brinks truck. In prison, Ronald learned his father had died.
It was out of nowhere that it happened. It just broke me.
Hopeless, Ronald yielded his life to Christ and turned to Moody Radio for spiritual growth. today, he's at Moody Theological Seminary.
My goal is to be used in whatever way that he would have me used.
Read Ronald's story in this month's free e-newsletter, Uplift. Go to mymoodyradio.org.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones, or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, giving your money and things to your children without ruining their lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now, instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting Heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. And it's available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Tonight, Kamala Harris will accept the nomination as Joe Biden's running mate on the Democrat ticket. Thursday, Biden will give his acceptance speech on being the party's nominee for president. Thousands of people under orders to evacuate in regions surrounding the San Francisco Bay Area. Some 30 wildfires blazing across the state now amid a blistering heat wave now in its second week. Smoke has blanketed the city of San Francisco, and four people have been injured in Vacaville as wildfires encroach upon that city. Slade Gordon, a three-term Republican U.S. Senator from Washington State, has died. He was 93 years of age. Stocks finishing lower on Wall Street today. The Dow dropped 85 points. The NASDAQ off 64, and the S&P 500 was down nearly 15. This is SRN News.
Hey, thank you for tuning in today. It's MoneyWise Live with Rob West, and I'm Steve Moore. And again, our phone number is 800-525-7000. And just before the break, Rob, we were chatting with, I think it was Jeff, and he was mentioning a problem that occasionally we hear about, not all that often, but essentially my wife and I have enough money, and looking forward into the future, we think that will probably be the case, either because of their careers or because of some money in the family. Money does not really look to be a real issue. So if that's the case, then why worry about it? Why have a plan? Why really have a budget if you find yourself not in debt or not overspending? I mean, is that just wasted time? What do you think?
Well, I think, Steve, as believers, we have to take it to a whole nother level and recognize that we're stewards. We're managers of God's money. So we really don't have the option just to go it alone and not approach this without diligence, without a plan, without prayer, without being a proper steward. And that's going to look different for each of us, which is why we need to ask the Lord what he would have us to do. But I don't feel like as believers we have the option just to put it on autopilot and say, well, I've got enough, so I'm just going to spend without a plan, without giving careful consideration to what God is calling me to, and without a control mechanism, which really is that spending plan or that budget. So don't mean to over-spiritualize it. And yet, if it's not yours in the first place, then you have another level of responsibility, and you've got to ask the owner what he would have you to do.
And you're missing out on an opportunity to get even closer to your spouse, because you really won't get to know one another any greater at any greater level than when you have to sit down and talk about money and finances. It really, I mean, I understand totally that there may be moments when you wish you weren't talking about money and finances, but when you can communicate about that issue, then you'll find you can communicate about just about any issue.
Well, I would really agree with that, Steve. I think this is one of those areas, to my earlier point about Shanti and Jeff Feldhahn's work, you know, 77% of married couples struggle in this area. So if we can get this right, I believe that really will have a ripple effect into communication in so many other areas.
Okay. Let's continue on. Joliet, Illinois. Hello, John. Thanks for holding. And what's your question for Rob West?
Hi. Hi. My question is, I'm 73 years old, and I have a mortgage, which it would take me 15 more years to pay off my house.
Yes.
And right now, the total amount of that mortgage is about $85,000. And in that mortgage, some time ago, I had got a loan modification.
Okay.
So the principal balance on that loan is $45,577, and the deferred balance is $39,789, which you add both of those up and you get a total of $85,000.
Yeah.
So I have been saving money toward trying to pay it off. And the interest rate on this is 3.75%. And so I looked at it like this. I don't want to have to be 88 years old by the time, if I live to be 88, I don't want to have to be 88 years old trying to pay off the mortgage in 15 years.
Right.
So I was thinking that since I'm saving the money and by the first of the year, I might be in a position to pay it off completely. But by paying it off completely, that would deplete all of my savings. But then again, once it's paid off, my retirement money that I get per month, I could probably bill that my savings back up.
Yes, sir.
After it's paid off.
So sure. Yeah, I think I follow your question for sure. So here's my follow-up to that, and that would be, what is 6 months' worth of expenses for you? If you were to say, I'm going to take my savings, I'm going to set aside 6 months of my expenses on a monthly basis, and then what would you have left?
You mean at this point right now, what it would be?
Or at the beginning of the year when you expected to be able to pay it off in full.
Okay, well, the only thing I would have to worry about is basically paying for food, paying for utilities, gas, and
And when you life. Total those up roughly over a 30-day period, what do you guess that is?
So I would think that would be, I would say on the average of, say, 600 times 6, that'd be about $3,600.
Okay. Yeah. You know, and obviously you're living very modestly. I would just push back on that a little bit and say, just make sure you're counting all the expenses. So the, not only the fixed expenses, but the discretionary, those things perhaps you don't get a bill for, but comes up semi-annually, or even those things you just maybe spend cash for on a monthly basis. So I'd track it pretty closely for 30 or 60 days, but whatever that number is, let's say it's 1,000. If you carve out $6,000, I'd be comfortable with you really taking this saved amount, as long as you had 6 months worth of runway, and paying off that mortgage as quick as you can, and then recouping or recapturing that monthly payment or the equivalent of that monthly payment to rebuild your savings, which is obviously going to further reduce your expenses at that point and allow you to live well on the retirement income stream you have with a very modest lifestyle, which gives you ultimate flexibility. So I think that's a good plan, John. I think it'll give you a lot of peace of mind, but I wouldn't do it, even though you're going to get rid of this major expense, probably your largest expense. I wouldn't deplete everything. I'd keep that 6 month runway, even if it took you a few extra months before you paid it off.
John, thank you very much. Good to take your question today. Hope that helps you. Des Plaines, Illinois. Hello, Mike. We have 2 minutes. Let's see if we can squeeze it in.
All right. Thanks for taking my call. I got, I want to retire early at 63. And I can't get a straight answer from Social Security because I have two pensions, about $40,000. And I can't get a straight answer if they will penalize me if that's earned income or not. Because I can make, what, $18,000, you know, without being penalized. But I can't get a straight answer out of Social Security.
Well, it's a little complicated, Mike, and I'm not a CPA, so I would pursue this a bit further. Let me tell you generally how this works. In the vast majority of cases, pension income will not affect your Social Security benefits. The issue, though, that will make that determination is whether the pension is from an employer that withheld Social Security taxes from your paycheck. If that's the case, then you're in the clear. If there were no FICA withholdings, though, you might be subject to what's called the windfall elimination provision, which covers people who earned pensions from jobs that did not withhold Social Security taxes, but who also qualify for Social Security due to other work. In that event, Social Security uses a modified formula to calculate the full retirement age benefit that you would receive if you're under that WEP provision. But again, for most people, assuming the Social Security taxes were withheld, that pension income will not affect your benefits.
Does that make sense to you, Mike?
Yeah, both of my pensions were from, one's the military and one's from a union, so they were both held.
Okay. Yeah, so then you should be fine on that, and hopefully that gives you the clarity you're looking for.
Mike, thank you very much. We appreciate that. You're listening to MoneyWise Live. Again, our phone number, 800-525-7000. If you'd like to join us today with a question or a comment, we'd love to hear from you, 800-525-7000. Now, when we come back, we have questions about home title insurance. Don't think we've taken that question or comment in a long time. Also, a question about RMD calculations. That and much more when MoneyWise Live returns.
Most couples can't talk about money, yet most money books expect them to. But how can you create a budget or pay down debt if you can't even talk about spending or saving with your mate? If you get tense about money or just plain avoid money conversations altogether, Thriving in Love and Money by Shanti and Jeff Feldhahn is for you. And it's yours free when you donate $25 or more to MoneyWiseLive.org. Thriving in Love and Money for a better relationship, not just a better budget.
Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm here to help you understand the urgency and how much fun it is to share your faith through the eyes of a layman. It's heartbreaking watching our world being destroyed and lives being ruined. But while we definitely need to be informed and helping in every way possible, it's important to remember that God is at work in the midst of every struggle. Miracles are happening that cameras can't see. God never allows Christians to go through more than they can handle. So God's actually complimenting you with his trust. Anytime he allows you to be in a dark place, please, please remember this if you're ever caught in the crossfire. Boldness replaces fear when you know God has you there for his purpose, with the Holy Spirit guiding your every action. Who could have imagined our world would be like this? Your greatest faith-sharing opportunities could come in the midst of chaos, beyond your wildest dreams. And if and when that happens, know that God has prepared you for that very moment. There's nothing more exciting than knowing God is using you to move people closer to him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
This is Ann Graham Lotz with Daily Light for Daily Living. God, as our Heavenly Father, so closely identifies with his children that our tears are his. This precious revelation is first glimpsed plainly when we read how God called Abraham to leave Ur of the Chaldeans and follow him in a life of faith, encouraging him by promising in Genesis 12:3, "I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse." God not only loves you and me as his children, he identifies with us. And in response to such loyalty and love, I, in turn, desire to so closely identify with him that his tears are on my face. Listen to me. Isaiah 25:8 says, "The Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. My tears and yours are precious to him." How he loves those who love him enough to shed his tears as they share his cross. This is Ann Graham Lotz.
Your family and your money are two very important subjects. That's why in this month's MoneyWise e-magazine, we're giving your family tips and tools to grow closer to God, closer together, and closer to true financial freedom. Get practical advice to strengthen financial communication in your marriage, infuse more budget-friendly family activities into your week, and a lot more. Your free MoneyWise e-magazine subscription is waiting for you at moneywise.org/signup.
If I may, let me take just a moment to, number one, thank you for your prayers and your generous financial support that allows us to come to you each day. And if you've never made a contribution to our ministry and you'd like to consider that, you can find out much more about who we are and what we do, and you can even make a donation quickly and safely when you click the Donate tab at the top of the page at our website, moneywiselive.org, moneywiselive.org. So we, as a ministry, Rob West would agree, I know, not to mention the radio station you're listening to right now. Nothing is free. There is always a cost to something. And so the question is, who's going to pay the cost or help pay the cost? And in the case of ministry, we do depend upon you as a listener to help us when God puts that on your heart. So again, if you'd like to visit us online, it's moneywiselive.org. Okay, Lincoln, Nebraska. Bob, I know you've been holding. Thanks for that. And what's your question?
Yeah, I've been
seeing on TV advertised some kind of a title protection insurance. Maybe they call it title lock. I can't remember. But it's basically they're advertising that people can sell the title of your home out from under you and leave you basically homeless. Is that something that we need to worry about? Is that just a kind of a money gimmick thing, or is that a real thing?
Well, it's a real thing, but it's got to be pretty rare if it happens at all. But again, anyone can sell your property without you knowing it. It's called fraud. So paid services like this usually offer to monitor the legal status of your property title and then alert you if something changes. The problem is alerting you isn't the same as protecting you. So if you buy owner's title insurance, and you always should, it will cover your legal costs if your title is challenged and make you whole should you lose ownership for a covered reason. So in my view, this title lock is not something that's necessary, and it would just be an added expense that you really don't need.
I mean, like, I own my home, so I have the title in my possession. How could somebody sell that out from under me?
Well, they'd have to commit fraud. So they'd have to attempt to sell it even though they don't have the title to it and do that fraudulently. And that's what title insurance is all about. So normally it protects the lender if they're the ones holding the title. In this case, it's protecting you because you own your home free and clear. So it couldn't happen apart from somebody doing something that they shouldn't, that's illegal. And that's where title insurance kicks in. And again, it's so rare if it even happens at all, that's why, in my view, something like this title lock is not worth the expense.
Does that help, Bob?
Title and when does somebody get this title insurance? Is that when you just purchase your home, or is it?
It is, yeah. Typically, when you buy it, it would be required when you take out the mortgage, but the you would get that at the time of purchase for sure.
Bob, thank you very much. God bless you. Hope that never happens to you, sir. Let's go up near the Chattanooga area. And Rick, how can we help you?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Just a question about the RMD, how it's calculated. Is it changed each year? I know about the, not having to do it until I'm 72 this year, this time. And have you guys heard anything about it going back, like next year, back to 70 or anything like that?
No. The change, unless the law were to change that the new year is 72, and this year, actually, it's been waived because of the CARES Act due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But basically, to your question here, Rick, your RMD, the required minimum distribution, it's calculated by dividing your tax-deferred retirement account balance as of the last day of the previous year, December 31st. By your life expectancy factor. And you might say, well, what is that? Well, that's taken from what's called the IRS Uniform Lifetime Table. So if you go to just Google and you Google IRS Uniform Lifetime Table, you'll find the IRS calculation for that and the table that tells you what your life expectancy factor is based on any age from 70 all the way to, all the way on up. 115 and older is even there on the table. And that will basically give you the amount that you would need to take out each year. If you use a tax preparer, I'd have them just kind of verify that amount with you so you make sure that you're doing what you need to do and you don't get hit with any penalties. But at the end of the day, it's based on this factor and table from the IRS. And that's where you need to go for more information.
Okay, Rick, thank you very much for that. Only you, Rob West, off the top of your head, could respond to the IRS Uniform Lifetime Table.
Well, I don't know the table. I know there is one. I couldn't tell you what those factors are. You can look that up with three clicks, though.
Do I have to?
Maybe two.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's go to let's stay right here in Georgia, Chickamauga, Georgia. Hello, Darlene. I'm hearing that you are thinking about buying a home, and I'm not going to mention your age because I don't know if you gave us permission to do that. So I'll let you make that decision. But how can we help you?
Well, I just want to know: is there a certain age that you shouldn't, not say shouldn't, but too old to purchase a home? I'm 55.
Yes. And are you asking specifically related to taking out a mortgage? And is there an age at which you ought to own it free and clear? Is that what you're asking?
To take out a mortgage. To actually buy one at my age.
Yeah. Well, you can buy a home at any time. The question is, are you taking out a mortgage, and does that fit into your budget? You know, you can get a mortgage, you know, as long as you can document your income and show that you have a means by which to pay it back, they'll give you a mortgage, you know, that lasts pretty well into your retirement years. You know, I don't think you'd have any problem at 55 getting a 30-year mortgage. I think the question is, what would it look like for you to get out of debt before that? You know, we always encourage folks to try to have a plan that allows you to be debt-free by retirement. So if you're targeting 62 or 65, whatever that might be, for you to perhaps redirect your time and energy to whatever the Lord has you for you in that season, it's great if you can be completely out of debt at that point. It gives you more freedom, more flexibility, and not having that significant mortgage payment just reduces the income need that you have. So your retirement dollars, whether that's a pension or Social Security or savings that you've built up, obviously there's a much less need for income on a monthly basis. But as long as you have a plan to pay it off, you know, I think there's no problem with it. I would just get as short a mortgage as you can. Probably if you're looking at 55 to get a mortgage, I'd probably try to avoid taking out a 30-year mortgage and look at perhaps a 15 or 20-year mortgage. Even though the mortgage payment will be higher, that may steer you toward a less expensive home. So nothing wrong with it. You can absolutely qualify for it. I would just make sure you go into it with a plan to eventually be debt-free.
And Rob, what would be the maximum percentage of her income that she should be paying on a mortgage or a home?
Yeah, we recommend no more than 25% of your take-home pay allocated to principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. So the PITI, 25%, which leaves obviously 75% for your savings and giving goals, as well as your lifestyle and fixed expenses.
Okay, yeah, somewhere in that vicinity, Darlene, so that ultimately you don't become stressed or maxed out should something unforeseen happen in your budget or your lifestyle. Thanks. We're glad you called today. Let's try to squeeze in one more. Lakeland, Florida, Florida, and Harriet, how can we help?
Hello. I have a retirement question.
All right.
Can you hear me?
Go right ahead.
Hello. Hi.
Okay. I have a retirement question.
Okay.
I qualify for a disability, but I haven't taken it because I want to get 30 years on my job because I'll get 30% of my high three. Okay, and I figured out that would be like $600 a month if I make it 30 years. Well, next year, at the end of July, I should have 30 years. Now, should I apply for my disability before I put in for my retirement?
Yeah, that's a great question, Harriet, and it does get into some nuances of disability. You know what? I'm going to not weigh in on this right now just because there are a number of factors at work here, and I don't want to steer you wrong. Here's what I would love to do, though. I would love to take your information down. Let us connect you directly with a coach who can explore your specific situation, your age, what you're trying to accomplish here with disability, your ability to continue to work, and you know what you're trying to do in terms of qualifying for maximizing your Social Security down the road, and then give you a more complete answer than we would be able to do here in just a couple of minutes on the radio. So stay on the line. We'll get your information, and we'll have a coach get in touch with you.
We will. Harriet, you stay on the line. Let's make sure we get everything we need to get back in touch with you, and we will hook you up with someone that can give you all the specifics you need, and we're glad you got through today. Thank you very, very much. And obviously, Rob, we've had a couple of retirement questions, retirement-related questions. This really is key, but don't wait until you're 60 years old to start thinking about retirement. Obviously, it would be better to start thinking about these kinds of things in your 20s, but virtually no one does that, right?
Well, that's exactly right. The earlier you can start, the better. That's where compounding works in your favor, Steve. Let me just mention one other thing before we wrap today. I know time is short. I want to say thank you to Jeff, who called in, a listener here of MoneyWise Live, heard our previous call about title locks, and he said you can contact the county recorder, who can put you on a list to contact you if any documents are recorded, accessed or altered with or without your knowledge. So check that out. Call the county recorder and see if you can add your name to the list. And we appreciate Jeff for weighing in.
Mm-hmm. Well, and obviously we never appreciate any scammers or crooks, but you have to admit it's kind of bold and cheeky for someone to try to sell your house without your permission. I don't know.
I would agree with that statement for sure.
All right. Hey, thank you so much for tuning in today and for listening. Do us a big favor if you enjoy the program. If you've ever heard something that you were able to apply to your own personal finances, do us a favor and let a friend know. Because MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. My thanks today to Judy, Amy, Courtney, and Jim Henry. Have a great remainder of your day. Join us again tomorrow.